song is a jam. Morning, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That's Vanilla Fudge, You Keep Me Hanging On. And the massive drumming that you hear on that track is by my guest, Carmine Appice. He has written a book called Stick It, My Life of Sex, Drums, and Rock and Roll. It is a great book. I just finished it. I'm a huge fan of this man, one of the best rock drummers in the history of music, and I am thrilled to welcome Carmine to the show. Carmine, welcome, man.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Good, good. Well, I really appreciate you you joining us, man. I've been a fan for forever, and I love the book, man. It's a great read.
Oh, great. I'm glad you like it. A lot of people have been telling me they really, really do. I just did a install last night in Long Island, and you know, had a lot of fans there, and sold a good amount of books, and some of them already had finished it, and they said they really loved it, couldn't put it down, so I'm real happy about that.
Yeah, it took me like 2 days to read, man. Great stuff. Now, let me just clear this up. I've spent a good portion of my life as a fan calling you Carmine Appice.
Right.
Because of your brother. Now, Vinny, also a drummer, also a very successful rock drummer, and a terrific. He pronounces his name to this day. He pronounces it Appice.
Right.
And you pronounce it Appice, but in the book, you kind of have the behind-the-scenes story involving you at the time when you were in Rod Stewart's band. How did you decide, okay, that's it, I'm just going to call myself Appice?
Well, because most people called me that in those days, and I would correct them to Appice. And I was really tired of doing it, so you know, Rod just said, you know, you have so many different ways of saying your name. We got to pick one. What do most people say? I said, well, most people say Appice. So that's what we went with.
There you go.
And I was going great until Vinny came out with Sabbath in 1980. And then he started the whole controversy of the name.
Right.
Still going on.
I know, it still goes on. You know, I kept calling you Appice. For years I called you Appice, and it really wasn't until I was looking at some stuff online a couple of months ago when I knew that you had written the book and everything, and I was like, all these years I was calling you Appice because of you and Vinny. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
That's
funny. Well, let's start at the beginning. I you know, the first chapter of the book. Well, first of all, the intro of the book is interesting. You decided to open up with the story of Sharon Osbourne firing you.
Well, I think the foreword is real interesting, written by Rod.
Oh, yeah, Rod Stewart. Yeah, wrote the foreword, sure.
Yeah, what about that? Now he's a Sir Rod.
It's funny,
when I was in England, that was the big story, because it was a big story. He had just become Sir Rod, and he wrote the intro to my book, so it was kind of tied in, you know?
Yeah. Good old, and you—I mean—you did so much great work with Rod Stewart, man. In the late '70s, some legendary stuff.
I think Rod was—I consider that era that Rod was God, you know, as far as singers and frontmen. He was the best, you know, the greatest voice, the greatest frontman, running all over town, all over the stage, you know.
Mm. And let's go back to the beginning in Brooklyn. You were hanging out with some rough dudes in that day, and you could have actually gone down the wrong path like a lot of those guys did. Tell me a little bit about growing up in Brooklyn.
Well, you know, as you said, I was you know, running with, you know, these gangs. And if you read Peter Criss or Ace Frehley's book, they had a very similar childhood, you know. You had to sort of run with a gang in order to be safe, you know. And a lot of guys that I ran with ended up being, you know, capos for the mob and murdering people. Now they're in jail for life. A few friends of mine got killed when they were kids. And so music really saved me from that, you know. It got me not hanging out with those people. And it got me doing something completely different that I would have been doing if I wasn't doing music, you know. So I think it really helped save me from that kind of life, which could have happened. I didn't say it would have happened, but it could have happened.
And you discovered drums at a young age, right, Carmine?
Yeah. Yeah, I was about 11, 12 years old, something like that. And, you know, there's a picture in the book of me sitting at on a chair with a pair of drumsticks with a drum pad. If you look at my face, I wasn't very happy. That was the picture you take when you change a school called the Fetzer Piano School. and that they taught all instruments, but they really weren't. They were really very inspiring teaching drums, you know. And I just puss on my face like I didn't want to be there. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I started. I took one lesson there, and then the rest I took. I learned by myself, and then until I hit a certain point when I was sort of stuck, you know. And then I saw this guy play in Brooklyn, this guy named Tommy, and he was awesome. I asked him where he learned. He gave me this guy's number. His name was Dick Bennett. He was actually my teacher for 4 years, and then even taught Vinny, you know, when Vinny was young, when I realized Vinny's talent. So I probably started with him at 12, maybe 13, and Vinny started with him at like 9, you know.
Yeah.
So by the time I was, you know, 16, I was a really kick-ass, really great drummer and for my age, and I was doing a lot of gigs and everything. Very proud of myself because I bought myself a 64 Chevy 327 four-speed in 1964 with the money I made for playing shows. Mm-hmm. So
by the way, we're talking with Carmine Appice, whose book is called Stick It, My Life of Sex, Drums, and Rock and Roll. It's a terrific book, available right now at Chicago Press. And we're talking about the early days. Now, you took it's an interesting thing. One of the things in the book that I found amazing is that you never really had to have a regular job. You know what I mean, Carmine? Like, you kind of started making money. I mean, you said you had little jobs here and there, but nothing where you had to work all the time. Didn't last very long if you did have those kind of jobs. You started making money doing music, you know, and surviving by doing music at a pretty early age, which is kind of unusual.
Yeah, I think so, too. It came to a point in my life after high school. So I had tried to go to a vocational school. I didn't like it. Then I went to a regular high school and majored in music, which really helped me in my career later on because it taught me how to, you know, chord structures and how I could write songs with chords on a piano or a bass or a guitar, you know. But it was like 1964, I got to the point after I graduated high school where I did have two jobs in about a 6-week period.
Right.
And I would come home after getting up every day, taking the train to Manhattan, working, coming back. I'd come home after taxes with like $45. You know,
yeah.
Both jobs. I got fired from both jobs anyway, because I was, you know, sort of sleeping on a Monday and on a Thursday, so I would play gigs on Wednesday and Sunday. You know, I'd come and put my head down, and the boss didn't like it. After a while, they got rid of me.
Mm.
But then I said to my parents, I said, look, I work all week for $45. I could work on the weekend and make $150, $100, you know, sometimes $200 on the weekend. What do you think I should do?
You know? Yeah, right.
So, it was, you know, they couldn't argue the fact that I was doing well playing the music. You know, I just bought a car and I was paying for it, you know. And so since 1964, I never had any kind of day job.
That's great, man. That's great. Well, let's talk about how Vanilla Fudge started, man. Just an incredible, incredible group. Just amazing. And the drumming that you do on those, particularly the first album, is incredible. And I think some of the most influential rock drumming of all time. And you know, in reading the book, I discovered that you influenced everybody, including Bonham, you know, including Tommy Lee, and all these guys. I mean, you're one of the most important influential drummers of all time. And tell me how Vanilla Fudge started.
Well, basically, I was playing around, you know, in my band, and I got a reputation for being able to have a really good right foot and have good technique, and that I sang because I used to sing doo-wop in the, you know, Brooklyn streets with different guys, you know.
Yeah.
And so I got a reputation for that. So one day I was playing a club in Jersey that the Rascals used to play at. It was called the Choo Choo Club, and these two guys came in, maybe Mark Stein and Tim Bogert, and they said, "Hey, look, where'd you have a good foot?" And we just watch you play, and we have a group called the Pigeons that we want to know if you want to maybe be interested in joining us. And I said, "Oh, well, I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know anything about the music. I didn't know anything. But I was playing with my friends, and I was making decent money. They offered me a job with the band with a guaranteed salary that was paid by a manager who actually a very rich Italian guy in Long Island. He owned a bunch of clubs. He owned apartment buildings. You know, I later found out he was connected to the mob, you know.
Right.
But he was a good guy. He was like my mentor, you know, he ended up being. He always told me to buy real estate. Real estate is where the wealth is, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I listened to him, you know. And for me, it was a life-changing decision. What do I do, you know? Do I stay with my friends? Or do I try these new guys? I don't know. But they wanted to make it. They wanted to have records. You know, and they were doing this new kind of music in Long Island, these production numbers, which were, you know, like slowed down versions of songs. And what we ended up doing with Vanilla Fudge, matching the lyrics to the music, you know. Hmm. Like, You Keep Me Hanging On was too fast, so we slowed it down to create the drama.
Right.
You know. And so I joined them. 9 months later, we had to Keep Me Hanging On the charts.
Yeah. It's an amazing success story. I mean, it really is. And you continued on. We're going to talk more. Carmine, hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Carmine Appice is with me, and he, along with Ian Gittins, have put together a terrific book. If you're a rock fan, if you're a music fan, you got to get it. It's called Stick It, My Life of Sex, Drums, and Rock and Roll, with a foreword by Rod Stewart. And this guy, Carmine Appice, one of the most important drummers in the history of rock. And we'll talk a little bit more with him right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. Yeah. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. That, of course, is Rod Stewart. Do You Think I'm Sexy? One of the monster hits that Rod Stewart had. And this song was co-written by my guest, Carmine Appice. Carmine, welcome back.
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Good.
So let's talk a little bit about working with Rod Stewart. I mean, there's so many other things in the book that we don't have time to get to. The relationship that you have with Jeff Beck is really interesting.
Yeah.
And what
it is. It's like you know, friends, but every time I work with him, I financially got screwed somehow.
Yeah, I was
supposedly we're still friends.
It's amazing that you're still friends with the guy. I got to tell you, Carmine, after reading the book and seeing how you got screwed, especially with Blow by Blow, I was like, man, I'd have killed this guy.
I know. And I think about it now, at least I should have got paid something for doing that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. So you ended up, you worked with Rod Stewart, and this was at the time when Rod really, his solo career, like, really took off, man. And you describe it in the book, the jets, the groupies, the partying, the sex police. That must have been just an incredible time to be a rock star.
It was an incredible time. It's probably the highlight of my career, even though the musically the drumming was the good thing is I never really had to change my style to play with anybody, you know, from Rod Stewart to Pink Floyd to Cactus to BBA to even playing with Stanley Clarke, you know, so with Rod I really have to change my style. I just had to tone it down a little bit, you know, because sometimes he'd be looking at me on stage pointing to his teeth. And I finally said, what does that mean? He goes, that means too many, you're like the dentist, too many fillings. You know? So I had a lot of nicknames with Rod, you know. It was the dentist, it was a garment, it was Parrot Man, because I started putting hair color on my hair.
Right,
him.
Right.
You know, what are the band members says, Carmine, what kind of name is Carmine? Why not Boatmine? Or Bus Mine, you know? So they started calling me Boat, you know? I mean, so everybody else had nicknames. And that was the days when Rod had a band. It was his band, handpicked. We had percentages on the road, you know? And, you know, we were the band. There was nobody else playing with Rod at the time.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like it was like his new faces, you know? And we hung out with him. We partied with him. We go to rehearse, and we go to his house and hang out in his house and his bar. And, you know, we hang out with Tony Curtis and Valerie Perrine, and Gregory Peck was next door. I mean, it was just an amazing time.
Yeah, I love the story. I love the Gregory Peck story, man, when he came up to you.
Yeah,
I love that story. I also love the Fred Astaire story that you tell in the book as well.
It's part of the same Gregory Peck story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing. You go to a party and Gregory Peck comes up to you and said, Fred Astaire was sitting next to me at my show and I'm doing my solo, and he says, this is the best solo I've seen since Gene Krupa, and I've seen Krupa my idol.
Yeah.
I'm going, wow, Fred Astaire said that, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, Gregory Peck's telling you this, you know?
And it was hard for me to imagine that Rod Stewart and Gregory Peck were next door neighbors. Really amazing. There's a lot of amazing stuff in the book. I do want to mention you also in the book, Carmine, man, you had a lot of sex. A lot of sex, man. And I do want to mention, we obviously can't go into detail on it, but I read Hammer of the Gods. I am a fan of Zeppelin, and I have heard the Mud Shark story many times. And some people, as you say in the book, Carmine, some people maintain that it's not true, but you, in fact, were there as it happened.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely happened. And the people that maintain that it's not true, I think they more maintain that they weren't involved in it.
Right.
It was so utterly ridiculous.
I did want to mention one thing that I really loved in the book. I love the fact that you got to meet Buddy Rich, that you got to hang out with him, and that you got to smoke pot with him at Disneyland. At Disneyland, you smoked pot with Buddy Rich at Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah, and before.
Yeah.
The day we met him, and we became friends.
Are you continuing to, are you recording? Are you doing anything music-wise now? I know the book is probably taking up a lot of your time, but are you recording anything, working on stuff?
Yeah, I just got back from Europe playing with King Cobra, my 80s band.
Oh, yeah.
And Vanilla Fudge. We're both the Sweden Rock Festival and separate gigs with both bands in Europe.
Wow, cool.
And, next couple of weeks we go to Nevada, and then we got a bunch of shows with Vanilla Fudge in July. And Drum War shows in August.
Anything in Chicago? Are you coming here at all?
Yes, we're coming to Reggie's with Cactus in September.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, man.
Got a brand new album, Cactus, coming out.
You ever played Reggie's before, Carmine?
Yes, we did twice with Cactus. It's awesome.
Great room, man. Great room.
Great room.
Yeah.
Played the Arcata Theater with Drum Wars and my Russian.
Oh, that's great. Well, listen, man, I'm going to come see you in September for sure.
Yeah, I believe it's September 24th.
Awesome. Mark it down. Carmine, real honor, man. Real pleasure, and the book is great.
Fantastic, Nick. Nice to talk. You should write us an email with a review of the book. You know, I collect them from all the DJs I've been booked.
Okay, you got it, man. I'll do that.
Okay, man.
All right, Carmine, take care. All right.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Carmine Apice, everybody. Or Apice, as I've been calling him for years. Boy, that was cool. That was very cool. All right, I'm a geek. Sorry. Anyway, one of the most important drummers in the history of rock, and his book is amazing. Incredible stories. Lots of crazy stuff with drugs and sex and groupies and playing all night, and then incredible amounts of great celebrity stories and music stories. It is a terrific rock book. Carmine Apice, that's APPICE, and the book is called Stick It. And we'll take a break here on 720 WGN.